Hi, and welcome to the Perfectly Imperfect Duo podcast with myself, Sari, and Lily. Today we are to just answer somebody's specific question because it's a bit of a topic that we can talk around. And so Lily is going to share a question that she's been asked for us to have a chat about.
Yeah, this person wanted to know about applying the three principles to winter blues slash the time change. I'm just going to read it from here. She said, "Sometimes, and I think others, or sometimes I, and I think others, have a ton of thinking about how the lack of daylight will affect me. And those thoughts will then put me in a low mood. But then I'll have the thought that it's biological because of the lack of sunlight, and there's nothing we could do about it. Do the three principles still apply when there is this biological component of less light?" And I can start off with, so I replied and I said, "Great question." And I said, "Also, I think you're seeing the fact how thoughts come into play, because just in that she was some of her awareness, and also not everybody is affected the same by different types of times of year. And so when we know that, if every single person, when the time changed, when it became winter, was just low mood forever, but we know that's not true. We know, okay, there are some people that love it, that, oh, it gets darker earlier. I love it. It's cozy. It's cool. It's like the holiday season, that people have a different experience. So then we know, okay, thoughts involved. So I think there isn't really a biological component. We can say, oh, there is the fact that there's less light, a little bit less light, that sometimes it's darker, it's colder, but it's never the light or the dark or the cold. It's always people's thinking about it. And as she said to me, she was recognizing the layers of of the thinking that can contribute to the low mood. So wintertime doesn't necessarily always equal low mood. And that's where we know, okay, and that's it's wonderful in there. And I felt like she had some curiosity in there about that. And so I can say what I see for, I mean, well, I think being in her place is great because it's curious. Wait, maybe even if I have, I felt like I've had the winter blues before. Maybe I don't have to necessarily have that experience this time. What does that mean, the winter blues? And I think, to me, I think there was an awareness already that she was like, oh, I have these thoughts, and then I get in a low mood. And I'm trying to think of how I want to say it, but I felt like she felt this kind of opportunity for a different experience of, and so that's, I guess, maybe what I want to start off with is, like, how do I want to say it? Because I don't want to deny that some people might say, oh, but I am in a lower mood, because I guess what's coming through for me is even sharing when I was on bed rest. It has nothing to do with the seasons, but when I was on bed rest when I was pregnant with my son, at first I really love to read, and I do love TV shows, but sometimes I can get more hooked into a book. And so I would purchase a book on my Kindle, but I would read it in one day. So after the first 3 days, I thought, I need to cool it on the reading, because I keep buying these books. So I said, just get into a show. So I got into a TV show, and I just would binge it. And sometimes, actually, this was before I even came into the principles, but we always still have our wisdom. I would hear our wisdom that would say, take a break, and I would just hit next and next and next. And then one day, the sun was hitting my computer in a way, so I closed my curtains. And so then the next day when I woke up, I thought, well, why would I open my curtains? Because it shines on my computer. So I just kept my curtains closed, and I would just next, next. And I had to be on bed rest because I would go into preterm labor. And so there was a real time where I could barely get up. I couldn't even sit at the dinner table. I would try to with my family, but I would go into preterm labor. So I really just needed to lie there. And it was kind of fun at first because I had been really working as a school psychologist for a long time. And but so after just a few days of being in the dark, binging my shows, I started to feel in a very low mood. And I thought, oh, and I was aware of what was going on. And so it was like, it was just a few days, but it suddenly felt like I was in a depression. And I think it was the darkness was impacting my thoughts. But so I just opened my curtains and I realized, and I was also a member of the very active member of like the Unitarian Church, which is just a very loving, welcoming congregation. And before that, I'd been teaching the children's classes. And so I remember, I think they had been checking in on me, and the Reverend came over and sat with me, and the prayer circle had knit a blanket. But the low mood did kind of wake me up. And so I made a point to say, oh yeah, come over and have tea. And she gave me a blanket. And then I realized, oh, I'm going to have a friend come over too. And so I just upon myself, like asked my friend Nina, like, would you come over? And she'd sit in bed and have my tea. And just for me, even just opening the curtains and then also I was able to, I realized I could go outside for a tiny bit into the sun. And so I know that in the winter, this might not be possible, but I guess I'm sharing this story in that, I could relate to the dark, not leaving, not being social. I did see that it impacted me outside of my thinking, but just noticing it, I was able to kind of have little simple ideas that came to my mind that helped lighten my mood, because it is a thought created reality. But there were in fact little simple things that I did, that also just helped brighten my mood and brighten my spirit, you know. And one final thing, we had a super rainy year last year in Los Angeles. I've lived here for my whole life. I mean, a couple of years in New York, but mainly 42 years in LA. It was the rainiest it's ever been. And I didn't realize that. I think I get so used to seeing the sun. And so it was day after day, gray. And I had this thought, I can't take another gray day. And it felt claustrophobic. And then it felt like, well, just don't think about it, which I know is sometimes unhelpful, but it was like, I felt like it was upon me. I could think about it of like, no, it felt claustrophobic. Like my eyes weren't used to seeing gray. And I realized that was literally just a thought. And if I didn't give it energy, I went about my life and there was beautiful things happening. So those were two stories, I guess. And I don't know if there was a point, and I'll eventually get to the point, but that's my starting off point. And passing it to you.
Okay. So when you were talking, I'm a very visual listener. I sometimes visualize things before I make sense of them, if that makes sense. And I had this vision of you in your room, fully clothed, don't worry. And you opening that curtain. And to me, when you said and let the light in, I'm thinking, is it anything to do with the light? What is that curtain opening symbolizing for me that feels like it's not the light?
That is such a great question. I think when I was in my bed rest days opening the curtain, I think it was like getting out of my head, inviting in. I got very kind of inward and
it's always like, for me, it was like opening your world. It's like, hello, yes. World.
Yes. And I think I love that you said that, because it was opening world. And also, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with binge watching TV shows, but I also think that's what I did for days on time. And I felt like it does help me blossom to, I opened my world just to a friend coming over, a person coming over. That was, I realized for me, I felt really great to incorporate a little bit of that rather than just being, I didn't feel my best to just binge watch something all day long.
Yeah. It's connection, isn't it? Connection to the outside world, to people, is so important. And I think sorry if anyone can hear on the podcast, little girl at the door shouting mummy, she's gone now, she's distracted me. So when we kind of open up that world to connection, for me it's like, you know, when people talk about, the way I see it again in my mind is, it's as though when I'm in my head, so if I imagine I'm in that room and I'm watching series, and at first I quite like it, and this is quite nice, this is quite chilled, like, oh, this is a treat. And then it's like, oh, it gets a bit relentless. And it's like my head then starts to fill up with water, as if like I'm drowning in my own internal experience, where it's like, oh, this starts to feel heavy. And for me, opening up that world makes me realize, oh, I'm not filled with water and heavy. I am a part of the vast water. I am a part of this universe. There's so much out there that's connected to me in a way that lights me back up again, if that makes sense. Brings me into a grounding of, oh, I always remember my teenager once, we were sat in the car and it was around the winter months, and I picked her up from school and it started to turn dark already and it was raining. And she said to me, Mum, do you ever feel weird when it turns dark? Like, I get this weird feeling sometimes and I can't explain it. And I instantly just went, yeah. And I knew I'd experienced similar to what she was telling me. And at the time, I remember thinking, what is that? And then realizing it's that level of consciousness. For me, it almost starts to feel as if the world is shutting down a little bit. It's closing in a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
But that is nothing to do with it going dark or the light. It's, again, that perspective. So when I used to get really anxious and I'd wake up in the night, I always felt worse in the night because I felt alone. I wasn't alone. I was with my family who had been with me all day, but I wasn't with them, connecting with them. So I felt alone and it felt more scary. It's like, you know, when my daughter with her health condition, she's ended up having to go to accident and emergency a few times. It's always felt easier in the day than it has if it's happened at night. And that, again, is nothing to do with like A&E functions the same, whether it's dark or light. But there's something for me around, it's a psychological thing for me around starting to feel alone, like the world is shutting down and I'm on my own in this. Whereas some people will say they love it when everyone else has gone to bed and to sleep. Because for them, it can be a very different experience of, I'm alone, yay, thank God. This is no pressure time. This is no expectation. So again, it's very much our story around it. I have a family full of redheads, most of whom hate the summer. They get burnt. They say they look really pale and they never turn any sort of colour of brown that they might want to get a tan. It just doesn't happen. They feel the heat a lot. And they love the winter. They love when they don't have to consider their skin in the sun. Like, to them, they much prefer it.
Different perspectives, you know. To me, when I think different perspectives, we think, oh, this isn't fixed. Winter blues don't have to happen, you know, but it doesn't mean that you can't realize, oh yeah, because I love what you talked about of the connection of like letting that light in. And I also just feel like sometimes I think the time change too, you know, my daughter has said it too, of like, oh my gosh, sometimes when I'm starting to come home, it's starting to get dark. And so sometimes I think we need to just give ourselves a moment to adjust, because oh, now it's dark when I'm coming home. Cause sometimes, well, that can feel sad and depressing, but it doesn't feel sad or depressing when we're going out at night or something, but it's something about, wait, I'm not
going out with friends or you're going to have a good time. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter if it's dark or not. But again, it's that when you say adjusting, for me, when the brain is adjusting to anything, like when we went into lockdown, we had to adjust. When we changed job, we have to adjust. It's adjusting, again, always comes with a level really of uncertainty. Like, this isn't really familiar right now. So I have to figure it out. I have to know that it's safe, know that it's okay. And I think what certainly my experience has been is that that can start to create a little bit of hypervigilance, which then affects my state of mind and my mood. And I start to see it as, oh, I feel flat in winter, when actually I've been a bit hypervigilant and I'm getting myself a little bit burnt out because of change and adjustment. Nothing to do, again, with seasons. I saw this clearer when I always remember I used to get my anxiety and my depression periods always in winter for years. And part of that would start with my birthday in October, and I'd always feel shit on my birthday. It was like the opening the door to the winter. And then Christmas would come, and a lot of that was attached to experiences of trauma being when I was younger, and Christmas wasn't a great time. So I would preempt it every year. And then one summer, because it was always fine in the summer, one summer I started to have a really severe anxious episode of anxiety and depression. I had to be off work, and it blew my mind. I was like, but why? It's summer. How can this be in the summer? This only happens to me in the winter. The dark nights affect me. The weather affects me. I'm fine in the sunshine. I'm good in the sunshine. To the point where I'd even considered at some point, I need to move to a country where there's more sunshine, because that would fix everything for me. And as much as it was a real kick in the teeth that summer, it actually gave me a lot of insight into this is not about summer or winter. Because suddenly it could happen both. And now my experience within this conversation and having this understanding is I enjoy my winters more. I would be lying if I said there isn't a period of adjustment for me, because there is. Like, I do like the fact that we can stay out longer in the evenings in the garden in the summer. And like, there's things about it that I like, but that isn't directly affecting my mood. And I do get that bit of hypervigilance. Oh, it's dark and rainy and it's early. What's this? This is unfamiliar. And that's what I'm adjusting to. And then once I've adjusted, it's good.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's interesting. I don't know if this is coming to me and it doesn't necessarily have a direct correlation, but I think I'll see it. Sometimes people say like, oh, lack of sleep, you know, like sometimes people can be hypervigilant. And then we've all had those times, maybe like in a new relationship where you're like having so much sex and you like don't sleep, but you're so excited that you're like, whatever, you know, like, or like,
I don't need sleep.
Partying, like, and so there's times when the lack of sleep doesn't bother us if in our state of mind, like it's a new relationship or if it's like a super fun work event. And it's only if we are hypervigilant, oh, now I didn't get enough sleep. So I think to me, it was like that same thing where, there's times when we're going out and it's nighttime and in the night doesn't bother us, or like it's never the sunshine, because also sometimes people, like I know you can be on a vacation and be miserable, you know, where absolutely. Sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to be by the pool in the sun. None of that really matters. You know, we can have that, it's truly the state of mind that we're in. And I think it is for me, sometimes the adjustment is just, it's all like, if I think sometimes if, because my daughter kind of makes it home on her own, when she says, I didn't think about it until she'll say it. And I'm like, oh, is it dangerous out there? Is the night, you know? And then it's like, no, it's not necessarily more dangerous. I mean, you know, I know some unsavory things sometimes happen more at night, but I think sometimes for me, I think there's always, even as a little girl, it's like sometimes if it's dark, and that's just my thought, because often my daughter's out at concerts and she's doing stuff and hearing music, but sometimes it's like, let's have everybody home. It's dark. Like, let's all be like everybody I love. We're just inside. We're like inside now. So sometimes it's an adjustment as it gets dark. My brain's like, is your daughter home? Like, is everyone just like here?
And also an adjustment to them growing up and becoming more independent. It's the same thing, isn't it? It brings the same levels of anxieties and fears around the what ifs. Is any a change or adjustment in our lives?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting. This is kind of thinking about the dark. You know, it was on Halloween. It was the first time that I ever went trick or treating without like a male partner. I had been with the father of my children for a long time and met him when I was 20. And so had kids young, and he loved Halloween and there, you know, and so he was always there. But then for the past like 3 years, my boyfriend would come trick or treating, but this time he was busy. My daughter was out seeing music. And so I was there with my son, and some of the time it was just me. I was the parent that was following like this group of four boys. And I was hyper vigilant on like, I didn't want anyone to get lost. During the day, there was one mom who came for the first bit. And I was like, I love when it's light, like light, you know, I just was like, I felt so much safer being supervising the trick or treating. Then the night fell and it was so interesting because I'm not normally anxious at all. I really was like worked up, like wanting to make sure they didn't get hit by a car. And it was very interesting to have that feeling of like my heart afterwards, my heart was beating. I just felt, I was like, oh, I was like in a state of fight or flight. But when I got home, I had this perspective how distorted my thinking was because I was so like, I wanted everybody to stay together. And there was one point I'm like, here, we're turning to here, to the house where we started. And the boys were like, that's not the street. And I realized in my mind, like they could just get lost and they're nine. So they're like, and I realized my fear of them getting lost was definitely overblown. Like my fear of them like getting hit by a car was obviously like, I think my concern was exaggerated. But I didn't see that until after where I was like, they probably wouldn't have gotten lost. Like I didn't need to be, I was so keyed up, I think, for my responsibility, one of my son, but also that's something that I'll fall into of like if responsibility for other children. Mm-hmm. But it was funny. It wasn't until afterwards that I realized like my perception of the night on Halloween was completely different and unnecessary, you know, and I had all the boys sleep over. And so on the ride home, you know, one of the friends was like, Halloween is my favorite night ever, more than Christmas, more than Thanksgiving. And I'm sitting there like, it's my least favorite. It was really just my thinking about it being dark, that it made it. And I'm not denying there is sure some factors of it is dark, but like when I really reflected on how distorted my thinking was, and also it wasn't in a bad way. It was fine to have that experience, but my thinking about it was definitely a bit off.
Yeah. It's a funny thing because when you were saying then about hypervigilance, for me, again, it is another love letter to the body, to just an invite to get present when we realize that we're maybe overreacting to things. So I went on a dog walk the other night and I was so tired and busy in my mind and like, oh, I've got all this to do and all that to do. And, you know, and my mind was worrying. And then I took the dog and I think I'd forgotten my phone. But normally, if I walk the dog and I've got a busy mind, I'm checking my phone or I might ring someone. And so I had nothing to do. So I just walked. But I really started to notice that when someone would come out the front door, I'd jump. Or if a car came past, and I noticed I was really on edge. But again, it was just a case of realizing, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was this overstimulated. But because I'd stopped, I saw it. And that's a good thing. It's great. It's another love letter.
Yes. That's what I didn't realize it until the trick or treating was over. And then I got in my car and I noticed that my heart was beating. But I thought, oh, this is so interesting. I said, I guess I had gotten myself worked up for 2.5 hours or so. And so then I had all the boys over. But so I still was like, my heart was beating. I was actually shaking, but I thought, oh, isn't that so interesting? But then once we were home, I mean, it was, but old me would have been like, oh my, you know, I would have thought there was something wrong, but I knew it. And then I just, and I had, the boys were so loud. They literally stayed up till midnight. They were playing football in the yard until 11. And I just made them snacks. But it was a love letter. I'm like, ooh, I got caught up about the trick or treating in the dark, but that was it. And then I didn't, you know, I made a little video about it and they said, did you do anything? Did you sit or did you meditate? And just having an understanding of it was enough. Like there was nothing. I made them quesadillas, I made hash browns. And then eventually it just, sometimes with the hypervigilance, if we're watching it, we don't give it room to go away. And so when I understood all that's just happened. I had gotten myself worked up. It didn't mean anything, but my heart was beating because I was in a stress response. And I was like, I'm sure I was much more jumpy. Where's the boys and where's everything? Mm-hmm. But we were designed to return to balance. So I knew, and it was when I was making a quesadilla, I flipped it and I realized, oh, it left, but it left on its own time.
Yeah. And it's about what we've talked before in other podcasts about trying too hard to you know, to fix things and trying to, and I can remember even, you know, going back to the whole seasons thing, I can remember you know, even my family had noticed a pattern that it was every winter, every Christmas. And again, it wasn't a coincidence in that it was a time I put a lot of pressure on myself and expectation, and I would cook the dinner and I would have everyone over. And at a time where I probably was already feeling stressed and didn't really want that, but just ignored that and carried on anyway. And so even my family had noticed, and my mum one year bought me one of the lights, you know, I don't know what you call them, the sad lights.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, this might really help. And I'd sit there with it on for hours and it just made no difference. And the reason it made no difference is because I was sat there willing it to work. Like, please work. Please give me more light in my brain so that I feel better. I had no idea at the time that that was me trying to force myself to feel different without realizing it had anything to do with my thought process.
Yeah. There's a huge big thing about like the benefits of red light and like infrared, all these things. And so I used to have, it didn't have to do with like sad per se, but I had this light because it was, I used to be very deep into like the health things, and it was like this red light. So I would do it. I would sit there under this light, but didn't make any difference because my head was so noisy. I was so obsessed.
I'd imagine, you know, you always make me laugh with like you make your own cleaning products. And I can imagine you sat under that light going, is this like giving me radiation of some sort? Do I need to switch this off?
Oh my gosh, I know.
It's doing me more harm than good. But it's the things that we, you know, we can overthink absolutely anything. And someone will say something like, well, it's clinically proven that, you know, if your vitamin D levels are low, it can affect you. Yeah, you know, take supplements, take vitamin D in the winter, because we do generally have lower vitamin D. But there's so many people out there with low iron levels, low vitamin D, low B12, whatever it is, who are not anxious and are not depressed, because it's not just about the low vitamin levels. It's about our response and sensitivity to how we're feeling and how we're experiencing things.
Exactly. And people have said that, well, when my vitamin B's low, great, take whatever, you know, B12, take whatever, you get the test, take it. But, you know, the first time I went into preterm labor, I think it happened twice, but they give you this medicine. I had to have an injection, and they're like, your heart, it's going to beat so fast. You're going to feel very uncomfortable. And then it's going to be over. I can't remember how long it was, but so I knew it was coming. So they're like, you're going to feel, and so my heart, it was beating. And so physically I had what would have been symptoms of anxiety, but I'm like, oh, well, this is the medication. And so I didn't experience, I didn't get caught up. I didn't have an anxious experience. Like, sure, there was some physical uncomfortableness, you know, but so I think that's what can happen if it's not necessarily low vitamin D or anything, that it's like, I don't know, even when I had my heart beating and I was shaking after the trick or treating, oh, I knew what it was. Mm-hmm. So it didn't. I guess think we always want to, we can be aware that, sure, we can fight for being a victim of our circumstance, or we, you know, I think sometimes it's like we have to be willing to be happy to over our ego or over whatever we've heard. Well, it's hormones, it's the night, there's this biological component, but it's not across the board. So if it's not, how are there people that are thriving and they love winter? And that's where kind of our happiness and our peace lies too. We're also, I think we've talked about like a moment in time or an adjustment. I don't know why I don't mean to be going to such an extreme place, but like Viktor Frankl, you know, he was in a concentration camp and he was still in a loving feeling and he would lose himself. You know, in that book, it really to me highlighted the gift of thought and how thought truly is a gift. And sometimes we can use it to bring to life things that don't make us feel good. But it's really never our circumstances, but our thoughts about our circumstances. And there's no judgment. There's no judgment at all. But just seeing that, because the wonderful thing about thought is that it's just coming and going. So we might be in a, we could feel in a temporarily low mood about the winter or about anything, that's fine. We can notice it. And we're really literally just another thought away from something coming and and having a completely different experience.
Yeah. And I think as we are, you know, this podcast is coming at a time where we are gearing up for the season of Christmas. And again, I think there's no one, you know, talking about judgment, that there's no, it's not a coincidence, again, that often people struggle or suffer more at a time where we can so often put so much pressure and expectation on ourselves to almost like, it's Christmas, you should be excited. You know, people will say, are you excited for Christmas? And it's like, should I be? What if I'm not? What if, you know, it's like the pressure to even feel a certain way at this time of year, to do everything, to meet with people. And I've noticed myself in the last couple of weeks, it's like, oh, it's November. Oh, I should start arranging to meet people. Why? When I haven't bothered all year because I've been busy. Why would I now, at a time where I've got things to do and, you know, I'm busy, why would I suddenly say I need to meet people? Because it's Christmas. You know, it's like we tell ourselves because it's Christmas, you've got, and it's like, as soon as you can start to just let go of some of these ideas and expectations, it just becomes another ordinary day, but an ordinary day where you've got the opportunity to sit and rest and relax and connect. Like there's so much good in the holidays, but it can also become really stressful when we put way too much pressure and expectation on ourselves.
Yeah. I did that. It was so, I mean, I see that. I even put the pressure to relax. Last Christmas, we were going to Mexico and I was like, I can't work at all. I even told my kids, like, well, if you see, I made like a schedule. I overcomplicated trying to relax, which is very ironic. And I was like, if you see me on my phone, you can find me and I'll pay you $100. And then anytime I would work a little, I stressed myself out with trying to not work. And so it was like, it was such a silly experience, yeah. You know? And so when I went away with my sister recently, we had like a 4-day, I was like, no plan. And I was like, I can work a little. I just, you know, and I worked for an hour or two in the morning. I even had a client who was having a hard time and I talked to her for half an hour. There was no, even this of like, oh, you know, and I was talking to a client and he was realizing that his parents are getting older. And so he would put pressure on himself when they'd have a vacation of like, you need to connect. You need to make the most out of this time. And so then if any little thing was going wrong, he would be like, oh no, the vacation, you know? And I think when we put, it can be so well-intentioned, like I want to connect with people during the holiday, or I want to relax on my vacation, or this is the time to have really connect with my mom and dad because they're aging, or I don't see my siblings. And I see that's what I did for myself, of like, connect with your family. And pressure is just bad all across the board, even with, you know, it's like the road to hell is paved with good intention. so I truly see of like taking the pressure off for this winter time too, for, because I kind of talking about hypervigilance, I used to think that around, I used to be hypervigilant and think it was my job. Is everybody having a good time? Whether it was like at Thanksgiving, you know, which is a big thing here in the United States, like, is everybody connecting? Is like, is everybody happy? As if that's my job, you know? And I used to fall into, I review it. Like, did I talk to everybody enough? Did I make the rounds enough? Like, and I just don't do that anymore. It's like I lowered my expectations of whatever I was of trying to achieve, but obviously it's still a work in progress because that's what I did last Christmas, but it was a great learning experience because I was like, well, that was a fail.
But maybe it wasn't a fail and it was actually just another, you needed another reminder.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And because I'm going away, my siblings live on the East Coast. And so now I trade off for having my kids for Christmas being divorced, but we actually have a week off for Thanksgiving. So next Thursday, my kids and I are going to Massachusetts. We're going to be there for 11 days. Oh, and there, wow. For 11 days, I do need to work a little, but I think sometimes I would have all this chatter of like, you should not work at all. You know, like that's what my brain would say. And like, you know, this feeling of guilt and horribleness, if I, And now I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm not, obviously there's, I'm not going to pack my schedule as much, but I am running, I have two groups. But like, I think I used to just have a lot of pressure on myself of what I thought I should be as like a connecting sibling and a mom. And that created so much more stress when I see it's so much easier if I'm like, whatever, I'll have like two sessions a day and then just move on with it. Like, I don't need to beat myself up. And
yeah, it's the flexibility as well. Sorry, Lily, there's a bit of a delay there. But with where we have a belief, we have a load of thinking and then it becomes a belief. Oh, you shouldn't work while you're on holiday. Okay. And maybe when you worked as a school psychologist, it wouldn't have made sense to be doing any work in the holidays because that was your time and it was more structured. But the reality is that, you know, when you work for yourself, it might make sense that, you know, sometimes you feel like it's more beneficial for you to log on for an hour as opposed to, because there's other times where, you know, you don't need to work when you don't have to. And that flexibility, isn't it? And I think sometimes we can stick with our, well, this is what we've always done and this is how it's always been. And this is very much like the holidays as well. It's like, oh, well, I always have everybody. Well, that's okay. But what if that changes? What if you're not going to do that this time? And that's okay to not challenge necessarily, but to question beliefs that are so second nature because it's just always what you've done, is that it can change.
Yeah, I love that flexibility, and it can change.
Yeah. So maybe we should end this with saying happy holidays to everybody.
Yes, happy holidays. And I mean, we could even do another holiday one too, because I think sometimes that could be people compare, and sometimes what people see on social media, people can get in their heads about, because happy holidays, and I'll end it. But like, just really, comparison is the thief of joy, because I do have a great group of friends, but I'm not very social. And so sometimes you see these big family things that get together and Christmas parties and holiday parties, and just notice when your thinking can be super unhelpful and nonsense, you know, because I know sometimes it's like, you have no friends and you have like, you know, you see people going to parties and, or I don't know, you know, or sometimes we, I don't know. I just notice really when my thinking is unhelpful and really don't get on. I try, for me, it just, I don't get on the comparison train, and it's like, but I think maybe for me that also comes with age. But I didn't mean to take us up on a tangent, because happy holidays.
I do love you. Okay. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll catch up soon.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.